This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the busts, and everybody else in between. All right, we got more football talk coming up. We got Coach Hamilton Tiger Cat's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes. We'll get back to some college football, NFL football futures. We continue to just try to stockpile and build our portfolio. And sometimes, yes, we all want to be cute. It was a great pick by Julio. The UTEP is something very, very interesting there at 3.5. But, you know, people want to come out of the box with these crazy this and that. And sometimes the simplest teams and the simplest, it's like, you know, you don't got to be so cute. And I'm looking at the Green Bay Packers about this. And we've talked about this, and it's been brought up. They didn't adjust the numbers, guys. They moved the Packers when there was this big Aaron Rodgers drama, and they moved the Broncos up. And they moved the Packers down a bit. They've never moved it back. And we hear a lot of people bring up, well, the Packers and their drama. There's no drama. Anybody who's paying attention to the Packers camp knows that the camp is rolling along smoothly. There's no problems. Aaron Rodgers, it's not like Aaron Rodgers every day is moody or there's problems, you know what I mean? Aaron Rodgers doesn't like the GM. He made his point known. It is what it is. Has nothing to do inside that room. Has nothing to do on the field, on the practice field. Has nothing to do with them trying to win a Super Bowl. You know, Aaron Rodgers wants to win a Super Bowl. He has more leverage. You know what I'm saying? Like, Devontae Adams is a free agent. He doesn't behoove him to, like, tank. Like, I don't really get this. Like, Green Bay are minus 145? Like, let's, like, analyze this. Who's going to beat them? What, the Chicago Bears? I like the Bears. I think they're up and coming. But, dude, the Bears were an eight-team win. They win eight games. And the Bears this year, their win total is 7.5 for a reason. They'll probably win eight games. They might win 9 if everything falls into place for the Bears. And, all right, well, they're 9-8. Like, the Bears could battle for, like, the last wild card spot with the Arizonas of the world type of thing. You know what I mean? The Detroit Lions aren't winning that division. All right, the Lions are going to be lucky to win 5 games. And then you get to the Minnesota Vikings. It's like the Bears and the Vikings are the competition. And the Bears are okay. And then you get the Vikings, who I used to big up all the time. I'm done. I'm out. Kirk Cousins has proven that he's Kirk Cousins. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And Kirk Cousins is an average, mediocre stat padding quarterback. He doesn't win big games. He never has. He never will. I think, like, at what point, like, can we accept that Kirk Cousins is not a good NFL quarterback? He's a money-making quarterback, but you want him on your team, take him. I mean, they couldn't trade him if they tried, right? So they're stuck with a sorry ass in his contract. It's coming to an end soon, but Jefferson's good. Dalvin Cook's really good, but he's injury-prone. Their defense isn't as good as you figure a Zimmer team would be. They don't really have a lot of talent on defense. They're not as good as Green Bay. 145 is too low. It's too low. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. We're throwing it down on the Thursday night. Throw down the quickest 180 minutes in Sports Talk Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks, and all our glorious AM radio affiliates. We're kicking the tires, and we're just going over totals, and we're going to be doing this for the next couple of weeks, man, because there's literally hundreds of teams to go over. Are we missing any numbers? Like, and sometimes, you know, at this time of the year, and we all do it. We all do it. How about fantasy football? Oh, who's that sleeper? No, I'm going to do this. Yeah, well, whatever. The guy that won had, you know, Lamar Jackson. All right, so there was nothing spectacular about it. Like, it's one of those deals where, yes, there's going to be some new upstart teams in the NFL. But to me, the Green Bay Packers at minus 145 to win this division is just something that, like, they should be bigger favorites. They should, like, you could discount Detroit. So then, all right, the Packers are competing with two other teams. And also, I know the argument, and I've heard people, and this is, and I can live with the argument, and I've talked about the Packer win total, but I like the Packers to win a division even more than the damn win total. I don't even need to worry about how many games they win. I just need to worry about them being better than Minnesota and Chicago. And yes, the Packers have a difficult schedule. But you know what? The Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears play the same damn schedule. With the exception of a couple of games. You know, the Packers are high profile. The Packers, you know, will have a couple of games here and there, prime time and stuff. But they're playing the same other divisions. So it's not like it's going to be fun for the Bears, right, to be playing the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's not going to be fun for the Vikings to be playing the Rams. How do you think Kirk Cousins is going to do? The Packers are the best team in that division. We all want to be cute. We all want to have that smart guy. And, oh, man, you believe that? Years ago, I gave FAU. I want to pick Morency. Well, whatever, it won. But it doesn't matter if it's the Green Bay Packers or FAU. Keep it simple, stupid. The biggest pop songs in the history of the world weren't written by Yngwie Malmsteen. They weren't written by Beethoven. Written by some dude in Atlanta and then given to Taylor Swift. The Late Night Anger Management Lacrosse continues. Bring it.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. We're breaking it down. We're talking football. Let's talk CFL football right now with a man. If you name a league, this man is coaching it, longtime special teams coordinator of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And Jeff Reinbold steps up. And Coach, one of these times we have you on, I like to sort of go step by step, where it all started and where you are right now, because it's been a hell of a journey, my man.
Yeah, boy, it has. And I'm going to tell you something. You better be a long playing episode. We got a lot of stops along that way.
But you've been in the hammer. You've been in the hammer for a while. So let me ask you, Coach. You guys didn't get the result that you wanted. But what was the feeling in the locker room before the game? What was the feeling coming out, you know, in the tunnel onto the field? You've been around the game for a hell of a long time, but a unique situation. I mean, that's the longest you've probably gone without coaching a football game, right?
Yeah, it was, certainly was, and you know, we were over 300 days without football, and you know, over, I don't know what the exact count was, but I know it was longer than a year.
640 days or something like that, in between
season games. Yeah, and our fans in this country, you know, love this game, and certainly in Hamilton, we have a team that is embedded into the culture of the community, and you know, this league's 150 years old, and it's the oldest professional sports league in the world. And, you know, so there's a lot of tradition, and I think there was just such an incredible amount of positive energy around the fact that, the fans were going to be back in the stadiums, that, you know, Winnipeg's, you know, obviously was sold out, and you couldn't put another person in the place, and it was a great environment. Obviously, we didn't like losing 19-6, but you know, just to be a part of bringing the game back to the fans and to the people of Canada and all over the world, the CFL fans all over the world, was really a great experience.
I think one word could have described those Bomber fans. Well, I guess two words: rabid and drunk. So two words. Because man, they brought it, man. Like they were loud. They were into it. And what's it like, Coach? Like when there's a new kid in the CFL, maybe you know, played big time college, and you know he's going through training camp and he doesn't really know what he's in for, right? It's like, no, listen, kid, you don't really realize we're going to be going into a stadium and it's going to be nuts. And these people are like over the top into this. What's that experience like? And was there anyone on your team that looked over like on the sideline and said, damn, man, I didn't know the CFL was like this lit like this?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, it was like, for example, on my punt team, we had seven of 12 guys were playing in their first professional game. And, you know, this game is so fast. I mean, we have a 20-second clock, not a 40-second clock. The game goes so fast. The field is 13 and a half yards wider, 20 yards longer than an NFL field. And, you know, we play three-down football, so everything is accelerated. You know, you don't get those long, you know, times between plays, between possessions. And I don't care who you talk to. Anybody that's played up here, whether he's played in the United States, played in the NFL, whatever level they played at, they come up into this league and they are shocked by the speed of the game, and they got that look on their face about midway through the second quarter, and they're asking, "Is this for real?" I remember, I'll tell you a story about Dexter Manley came up here.
Yeah, yeah.
The Ottawa, Hall of Famer, right? for the old Washington Redskins, and I remember watching Dex play the first game, and he played, you know, the first two plays, and the team got a first down, and so he had to go play again, and he's standing on the field tapping his hat, which is the universal signal for, I don't have any oxygen, get me out of here. And the coaches on the field were just giving him the stop sign, because you know, our rosters are small, and you don't come out, and you know, it's, so it was a learning thing, even experience for a guy who's a Hall of Famer in the National Football League. This is a different game played by a lot, you know, by different guys. You got to be a tough dude to play this game, because, you know, it's small rosters. Everybody plays on special teams. Everybody plays offense and defense, and the field is so wide and the game is so fast. It's a tremendous, tremendous game.
So how much of a challenge is that? That's amazing, Coach. So 70 of your guys were new guys, and you got to tell them. They don't even have time to take their helmets off, right? Like in between series, it's
no
time. What's it like for you as a coach? As you stated, you're not getting to sit down with the clipboard for 6.5 minutes with your guys, right? 8 minutes.
No.
So,
and you know,
what's it like, Coach, when you're the coach? How do you get your point across that fast when you've got, let's say, 45 seconds a minute with them maybe?
Well, I think what you really learn to do is you learn how to be really concise with instructions and speak a language that they can understand and they can process very quickly. You know, it really makes you a better coach, I think, because of the fact that the game is so dynamic. There's so many moving parts. We don't have some of the technology that the NFL coaches do. We don't get the pictures on the sideline and all that stuff. We have the iPads and all that, but our communication is limited also. So, on top of it, now with this COVID, in this COVID environment, if a coach is in the booth prior to the game, you know, prior to the game or during the first half, he can't come down at halftime. He has to stay in the booth. So, you know, we're doing Zoom calls to the coaches upstairs at halftime, which is just the reality of, you know, one of the realities of this COVID environment that we're working in. So, but it's just great to be back working, and the game is such a great game. If you're a fan out there listening and you've never watched a Canadian Football League game, you really need to, because there are more ways to score. The kicking game is so much more dynamic. you know, they're tremendous, tremendous players on this in this league with great athletic ability and skill. You know, it's a great league.
Coach, we have we're in conversation with Coach Jeff Reinbold, the Hamilton Tiger Cats special teams coordinator, and of course Hawaii and many other spots. No, we have a lot of CFL fans that tune in, Coach. And last week I had a poll question when the season started. I said, "What are you going to watch? The Pittsburgh Steelers Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame game, or the Tiger Cats and the Bombers?" And the Tiger Cats and Bombers won, and we had some guys, you know, Cowboys fans, Steeler fans, etc. They, you know, "Oh, well, no, I'm going to watch the NFL game." And you guys were on ESPN2, Coach. So I said, all right, just, you know, watch some of the NFL game. And then 30 minutes later, just make sure you tune in. We had guys, some people have never watched. They're like, "Oh, my God, that's a nice stadium. There's a lot of people there. Wow, these players are good. Oh, I didn't know that guy from that school played on this team." And then people were like, "Oh, I'm not watching the NFL game." Let me ask you, Coach, I don't know how much you got to watch the other games, but, I'm a CFL lifer myself. And, you know, I've been watching the CFL since the 70s. And Coach, I swear to God, I thought the quality of play in week one was better this year than it's been in past years, and you guys didn't even have a preseason. What's your take on that? Because I thought the quality of play around the league was damn good in week one.
Yeah, I think what part of that has to do with the fact that the Players Association and the league had an agreement where training camps were longer this year than they've ever been. Now, obviously, we didn't have training camp games, but which really what we lost there was the ability to evaluate some young players. But the length of time that we had, which was about a week and a half longer, we were able to do more and spend more time with them and get more in and polish a little bit better. I think offenses are still behind the defenses somewhat, but that will change as we play more football. There are a couple things that were really interesting. And you mentioned some guys that have come up here and with, you know, pedigree. Shane Ray, for example, is a first-round pick out of the Broncos a couple years ago that's now playing in Toronto. Yeah. And he made the comment during training camp. He said, "This game is really something." He said, "If you think this isn't real football, then you better think again, because there are tremendous football players up here, and the game is an amazing game." He's speaking the words that many of those kinds of guys have said. You talked to Doug Flutie, who played up here and then went back down and had a great career in both Buffalo and San Diego. And, you know, Doug still says, he says, "I had the most fun ever in my life playing football when I was playing in the Canadian Football League." So it is truly a great, great game. It's a player's game, and, you know, the interactions with the fans are much closer than they are with the National Football League. The access that the fans have to the players is different. It's something I feel very proud to say that I've had an opportunity to do since 1991, and hopefully be able to do it for a few more years.
Coach Jeff Reinbold with us. Listen, Coach, we'll take a quick...
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single, do or die game 7, a full week of heavy hitting back and forth series? Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Break. We got the coach for one more segment. We'll talk about the big game this week against the Riders. The late night anger management class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And stronger, because I'd say put me in, Coach, as we're kicking it with Coach Jeff Reinbold right now, Hamilton Tiger Cats. So, Coach, due to the pandemic, the Eastern Division teams went on the road and were asked to go on the road. And I got to tell you, I guess, hey, You know what I mean? You get these games out of the way, man. But going to Winnipeg in what was the Grey Cup rematch, and then going to Saskatchewan, I can't think of two harder, you know, tougher ways to start a CFL season on the road, Coach.
You're right, because we had to go up into the home of the Grey Cup champions, or the defending Grey Cup champions, the night they unveiled their banner in front of a sold out stadium. And that is a stadium with lots of energy in it to begin with. And it was a tremendous environment. It was, as I said, we've got a young group of guys that, I thought they really handled the storm extremely well. And now we're going to come back and we practice up. And now we had West again to play in Regina, Saskatchewan. And if anybody has ever been through Saskatchewan, they know one thing, that they love their Riders. They come, it's very, very similar to the Packers. It's a community-owned team.
Yeah.
The province is in love with that football team. These people will drive 6, 7, 8 hours to come to Regina for a football game. The team travels extremely well. Wherever they play, they're called the Melonheads. I have no idea how this came about, but their fans wear watermelons on top of their head, and it'll be a sea of green on Saturday night when we play, and it'll be again another great environment in a brand new, beautiful 1-year-old Mosaic Stadium, and it'll be a sellout, and it's exactly what you want.
Guys, to put in perspective just how passionate and how big the Rough Riders are, they sold more team merch a couple of years ago in 1 year than the Montreal Canadiens or Toronto Maple Leafs. Think about that. People think, oh, the Canadiens and the Leafs. They sold. Coach? Everybody in that damn province owns a winter jacket, a baseball cap, a football jersey, a flag, a license plate. Everybody.
And you know what? And exactly, you're exactly right, brother. And when it is football Saturday night, as it's going to be Saturday night, the whole province is tuned in, and it is the biggest thing in the province. You know, when you mentioned that, that's a great statistic, because hockey is, hockey is synonymous for Canada, and still in that province, and that's a province that's produced tremendous hockey players, dozens and dozens of NHL players, but still the Riders and CFL football are number one.
Coach, I'll tell, and for people tuning in, to put in perspective as well, more people watch the Grey Cup in Canada than the Stanley Cup Finals, even with Canadian teams, guys, in the finals. The Grey Cup gets 6-7 million viewers, especially if it's, Toronto and, there's a bigger marketing center, but 6-7 million people. Guys, there's only 40 million people in the country. So you're talking about like a quarter of the country is watching a football game, and not even that many people are watching a hockey game. As Coach said, it's the oldest league. I was just I was proud, Coach, myself, just to see that the passion of the CFL fan base to embrace the league back, say, we're here for you. We're here for you. You guys have been gone, but we're here for you. And we saw it across the board in every stadium, Coach. And you know they're going to be waiting in the hammer in a couple of weeks for you guys. It's going to be wild.
It certainly will be, because it's the hard travel from 45 minutes down the QEW. The Toronto Argonauts will be coming into the donut box at Tim Hortons Field. It's the kind of game that as a player you want to play in, as a coach you want to coach in, and as a fan you want to be in the stadium for, because it's a rivalry that goes back, for generations and handed down from father to son and on down to the next son. And it's passion, and it's
classic. Love it.
I love that,
Coach. Do you miss that? I love that. I miss that, man. Remember the old days? It was like the Monday, couple of games, and then they would play again on Friday. Loved it. Yep. I know it wasn't good for the players, but I just used to love that, just that tradition. So, Coach, tell me one thing first. So, you mentioned a donut box, but you're in too good a shape, bro. Like, I know you, Coach, you're in too good a shape. Are you crushing the Tim Hortons donuts? Are you like a chocolate
glaze
guy?
I'll drink the coffee, but I try and stay away from the donuts.
Coach Jeff Reimbel with us. So, is this a true story? So I heard, and this is crazy because, he's like the star of the team. Did Brandon Banks really show up on Monday thinking there was practice and nobody was there? Like, he was like, damn, nobody's here. What's going on?
Well, he came to the facility for treatment, but I think he let out a tweet that he was ready to go back to work to get better. And Brandon is, again, one of those guys that this league has been tremendous for, because, you know, he was a great player at Kansas State, and then he played for the Redskins. It was a returner for the Redskins for 3 or 4 years, and had really did some nice things in the National Football League. But as a receiver, he was perceived as being too small. He only weighs, now I'm not exaggerating when I say this, he weighs less than 150 pounds. And so, you know, obviously,
even to this day, really, he's like a buck
to this day. And then, you know, wow. So there was this knock on him that, you know, he was going to be too small and he couldn't. But I'll tell you what, when June Jones came here and gave him an opportunity to be a full-time receiver and not just a return guy and a situational receiver, he has blossomed into being the most valuable player and the most outstanding player in the league. And certainly, if you are a fan of big plays and a guy who can do a million things with the ball in his hands, then you have to watch Brandon Banks play, because he's electric. Every play he touches the ball, he's got a chance. You know, it's a chance for him to score from any place on the field. And, you know, he's one of those rare athletes that can turn everybody on the field into a spectator.
Is he ready to go? I know he was a little bit beat up and had a little bit under the weather this week. Is he going to be good to go for Saturday night?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, again, he's a great competitor. One of the things that allows Speedy to be such a tremendous pro is the fact that he is a hyper-competitive individual. He really, really loves to go out and compete against the best. And when the moments are biggest, that's when he's at his best. When the competition is the toughest, that's when he really comes to the fore. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that, you know, you want as a football coach, because, you know, he can make you right.
It makes you look better.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, I've done this long enough to realize that it's the best coach has got the best players.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, isn't it? All right, Coach, listen, we've only got a couple of minutes left here, and we'll get you out of here. And thanks for joining us. I know you're busy. So what do you guys have to tighten up? Listen, you know, you hadn't played in years. The offense goes down the field right away and puts a touchdown on the board. You must be thinking, wow, all right, here we go. Let's party. We got, you know, let's dance. And then you sort of hit the wall after. I know you're short a couple of wide receivers still, including Posey. So talk to me. What do you guys have to tighten up this week to get the win in the Prairies?
Well, I think a couple things got to happen. First of all, you got to weather the storm early in that stadium, because it is an emotional place. It'll be really emotional because it's the first, you know, it's their opportunity to play at home again and all that stuff. And, you know, you got to weather the storm emotionally. And then I think that there are two things when you play against them. They're extremely athletic football team. You can't give them big plays. You can't let them get the crowd into it. We've got to grind out first downs. We've got to get off the field. The special teams are always critical, because you're talking about huge exchanges of field position. And then I think when you get to into the second half, you want to go into those last 3 minutes of the game with a chance to win the football game, because the clock is different in our league, as you know. And the last 3 minutes of a CFL game can last for an eternity, because we have a running clock until the last 3 minutes, and then it stops after every play. So I remember being in Saskatchewan when I was in BC, I think it was 93, and we were down, Doug was our quarterback, and we were down by 21 points with less than 3 minutes to play and came back and won the game. That's what can happen on this field in this game with the clock.
And we saw it last week, Coach, with BC in the same stadium.
Absolutely. They're down by 30 in the first half. And any other football, college football, the National Football League, they'd put the fire out and call the dogs home, because the hunt's over with. But not in this league. You better play every down. And we got to talk to the players about that. You know, you come up here and you just don't watch the scoreboard. You just play. And then when you get to the last 3 minutes, that's when you can watch the scoreboard.
All right, Coach, we've got about 30 seconds. Coach Reinbold, and we really appreciate your time, Coach. I just want to say, I like the 14-game season. I thought 18 was a little bit much, and I thought it was taxing on the players. How do you feel about it? We've got about 30 seconds, but it shows. These games count now, especially, look, the guys in East won, right? The games count now. They really count when there's 14 games.
Yeah, absolutely. The fewer the games, the bigger the games. And obviously, everybody is trying to put themselves in position to get to the playoffs. And get, once you get to the dance, you got a chance to win the big prize, and that's in Hamilton this year in Tim Hortons Field, and it'll be a tremendous, tremendous party. One thing I do know about Hamiltonians, and especially Hamiltonian CFL fans, they know how to have fun, and the CFL is a week-long, the Grey Cup is a week-long celebration of our league and the uniqueness of the league, and you know, people come from all over the country for that one game, and it's really a tremendous thing, and that's why we are so, it's so important to us to be able to, you know, be in that game and hopefully host the trophy in our own stadium.
Well, Coach, I used to go to Iverwind. I've had a few drinks with the Box J boys before. I've had a few drinks.
My man, I know. You know what? I know you are not scared.
No, but Coach, I'm all like, you know, hammered after, like in the parking lot 4 hours after game. How am I going to get back to Toronto now? I got to figure this out. Hey, Coach, love having you on. Great stuff. Best of luck to you and the crew on Saturday night. Thanks for the time, Coach.
Hey, everybody needs a little anger, and nice anger management needs.
The coach, Jeff Reinbold. Thanks, Coach.
You're listening to Sports News You Can.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Do you have a gambling problem?
No, I enjoy it. It's a hobby.
Thanks to the coach, Jeff Reinbold, for kicking it with us. Late Night Anger Management Class, Sirius XM. People in the chat are talking about the CFL, XFL. There was conversation about the XFL and the CFL and a potential merger or business partnership. But let's be real, all right? The CFL is the oldest league, as Coach Reinbold. The CFL is the oldest league in North America. And the XFL is a two-time, like, shutdown league that's lasted less than a year both times. So there's, like, let's be real as far as a merger. It's like, you know, the thing is, The Rock owns the XFL now. And we'll give credit to The Rock that he's been patient with this. He bought it. He hasn't forced his hand. He wanted to get going, but the pandemic sort of slowed things down for him. And then there was talk, all right, about the CFL. You got to understand, The Rock played in the CFL briefly, right? So The Rock understands the CFL. The Rock loves football. And The Rock has that sort of wrestler. He's got the wrestling background. So sort of like thinking like a promoter and stuff. So I don't have a problem, but they're not like merging. It's not like for people to think, it's not like there's no like merger. Like, oh yeah, like the Montreal Alouettes are taking on the Houston Roughnecks tomorrow night. Like, they're not going to be merging and flying around everywhere. They already tried that and it didn't work. But there's talk about, cross promotion. Sort of basically very wrestling-like. To put it in wrestling terms, like, cross promoters, you know what I mean, to different territories, but like, let's agree not to hate each other. Like, basically, we're not rivals. Like, they sat down, we're not rivals, and right, how can we work here? Quite frankly, it's, listen, the XFL doesn't pay anywhere near the Canadian Football League, the CFL. That's the whole thing, right? The XFL is not paying quarterbacks $850,000 like the CFL is. You know, moving on $1 million and stuff. So, and the XFL doesn't want to do that. They won't last paying, right? The CFL is a long, you know, next to the NFL, the CFL is the best league in the world. It just is. It's the longest running league. It's been around longer than the NFL has even, like, you know? So it's not like they need The Rock in the XFL, but it can't hurt. The Rock, you know, listen, there's some people that you just don't say no to, right? Like, if somebody says, listen, I want to do business. The Rock is one of them. Like, is the guy a billionaire yet? Probably, right? He's moving in on it, I assume. Like, you know, he's a smart dude. He's an entertainer. He's a smart businessman. Like, if you look at, like, you know what I mean? Like, his show Ballers and all that stuff. Like, everything he does turns to gold, this guy. Let's just be real. Like, has The Rock ever failed at anything? Like, maybe one of his movies kind of sucked, but you know what I'm saying? Like, like, honestly, is The Rock, like, ever, like, been, oh, yeah, The Rock, like, you know, no. Yeah, I mean, he's, like, one of the more bankable guys that they can throw in anything. Everyone likes him. Like, he can wrestle and people like him. He shows up, like, out of the blue still and people go crazy. Guy could do a Disney movie. He could do his own movie where he's a bad guy. He could do whatever the hell he wants to do. Guy was talking about running for president, right? So I don't think he bought the XFL to be a loser with it, right? I think he wants to do something with it, but there's not going to be no merger coming. I think, you know, you could have sort of they were talking about a head-to-head championship game. You know, so like head-to-head championship game, XFL champ versus the Grey Cup champ, which actually I think is pretty cool. I don't have a problem with that. And, you know, it goes back to actually, you know, look at like the NFL and the American Football League. We're different leagues, right? So for all you people that said don't think the Buffalo Bills have ever won, that's not true. The Bills have won before. The Bills have won. The Bills won in, what, 1961, 1962? They're the champions of the American Football League. That's why it was like a big deal. Like, they were like, oh, the Jets are going to get killed. The Colts, these Jets guys, they suck. They're from the American League. They're not as good as the NFL. And the Colts are like, what, 22-point favorites, 23-point favorites? So one thing, the quality of play has been good. Now, the offenses are behind, and let's be real now. Let's keep track. So once again as well, gentlemen and ladies and binaries and everybody. It's going to be to the point of the game and say, ladies and gentlemen, everybody. The point is, we have now played 5 games in the CFL this year. We played 5 games, and underdogs are 5-0 against the spread. A favorite still has not covered. BC, we're getting 6.5, 7.5 tonight. They won the game outright. 5-0 ATS, and we've now played 5 games in the CFL, and there's been 4 unders and only 1 over. And you heard Coach Reinbold just say that, they, you know, even in practice and everything, that, you know, the defenses are ahead of the offenses right now. And it's not like it's bad. That's the whole thing. It's not like you watch a game and you're like, oh, man, it sucked. It was 15-9. No, like, it was actually a good game, and then they were making plays and stuff. But both teams struggled in the red zone. There were some missed field goals. And you know, a lot of teams in the CFL have had trouble once they get into the red zone so far. It's not easy to score, even with the bigger field. You figure it would be. Calgary threw an interception in the end zone. That they came close to scoring a touchdown, but he threw a pick. But, you know, the games have been entertaining and the quality of play, but something to keep your eye on, isn't it? Underdogs, 5-0 ATS. And the unders, I'm kicking myself for not just taking the under and riding this under train until it explodes. Because, you know, it's probably going to be 4 weeks or something like that. It'll probably take a little while. Maybe one game will go over this week, but it is frustrating, though. The books have been slow with the point spreads in the CFL. Normally, like, they post them, you know, they're up in early in the week, and there they are all week. They're not doing that now. Like, they, you know, and every book is the same. They're just dropping it, like, you know, the day of the game type thing, which leads me to believe they're getting beat. That when they do that, it means they don't want to leave it up overnight, essentially. Like, the CFL's not like a massively bet league, right? But all the mainstream sports books are taking action on it. The games are on ESPN. So basically, the most of the people that are betting on a CFL game know what they're doing, right? So, and they know, they, you know what I mean? Like, we follow the league closer than the odds makers do. These odds are being set in Europe and stuff. Like, they're kind of lost. And it's evident as the favorites are 0-5 against the spread. That's reflective of the odds maker. right? Like, they've been wrong five times in a row, basically. Like, they can't get it right as far as which team should be favored. They don't know. That's what it tells us. And that's why I like this league, right? Like, when you bet the NBA, guys, it's next to impossible. It's not next to impossible to win, but it's like you're betting against, like, these computer simulations that are, like, they've run it, like, 2 million times during the day. Like, overnight, they know, all right, this guy's going to get 18.6 points, and this is going to – it's all computerized. It's not like some fat guy smoking a cigar with a fedora anymore, right? It's all computers. So, and data. So it's not like, hey, computer, like people feed the data in that are smart, but it's all numbers nerd guys, right? They don't know the CFL. Ask Drew Dinkmeyer about the CFL. He'll go, what? I don't know. You know what I mean? And the odds makers are the same way. I know the guys in New Jersey. I did the show on a FanDuel every day. They don't know anything about the CFL. They know nothing. They couldn't name the teams like if you paid them. And they're setting numbers for this stuff. Right? But they're not setting the numbers. They're getting the numbers from someone else. But my point is, they don't know what they're doing with the Canadian Football League. And we've got to capitalize on this. So that's the thing. Don't be fooled by a team that's favored. And we've been riding the dogs. We were all over BC tonight. And I'm proud of myself because if you tune into Game Time Decisions, they said, oh, Nathan Rourke is starting and blah, 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 blah. And I said, no. I said, they're lying. They're playing games. Now, the league's going to get sick of this because the BC Lions keep lying about who their quarterback's going to be every week. But I don't know why they do this, but they do. Whatever, it is what it is. So that's, you know, I'm telling you, they don't know what they're doing. Like, and I'm not saying they're dumb and they don't know what they're doing because I haven't won every bet I made this year. But it is evident. That's why. Right? Like, it's same like with the Arena League. When the Arena League was rolling before, like, they would post numbers only the day of the game because people were betting it were beating them. It was like, you know, I mean, they can set an NFL number up and go to bed and they don't care. People will screw it up and they're going to bet this, they're going to bet that. They put a CFL game up, there's like a small population of people that know the league that are going to crush them. So they don't want to get beat overnight. So that's why they're not putting numbers up. So tomorrow night we got the Argonauts and the Bombers. It's a tough one. And I imagine the point spread will be the same thing as it was tonight. I think the Bombers will be 6.5 in that range, 7.5. The Bombers are good. So it's a little bit different. We knew tonight Calgary were not good. Well, Calgary are overrated. The Bombers are good. This is a tough spot for the Boatmen. But, hey, you know what I mean? They prove us wrong. Let's see if we're getting points. Then we've got Montreal, Edmonton, and then Hamilton and Saskatchewan. Hamilton and Saskatchewan, that's the TV game on ESPN News. The other ones are on ESPN Plus. NFL football, we went 1-1 tonight. So our preseason record in the NFL is now 2-1. And we've got more games tomorrow, and we'll, you know, are we going to bet them? Yeah, you're damn right we're going to be betting them. Tennessee Titans and the Atlanta Falcons, I will not bet on. This game, I haven't had a feel for it all week. I have no reason, you know what I mean? I'm not, like, going to bet every preseason game. Well, I bet the first three so far, but. Now, Buffalo and Detroit. Am I missing something on this one here? So the Detroit Lions are now 1.5-point favorites over the Bills? And I saw the promo today, you know, talking about with Ariel and Ben. They were talking about the line move because Cam Newton's playing. And Cam Newton played a series. And is this because Josh Allen isn't playing? Like, did anybody think that Josh Allen was playing in the first place, you morons? Like, oh, Josh Allen isn't going to play, so let's move the number now a bunch of points. The Bills were 2.5-point favorites. Now the Lions are 1.5-point favorites. And I keep looking. I'm a Bills fan, too, and I keep looking at, like, the Bills news. I'm like, am I missing, like, did something happen in camp? Like, did everyone, like, what happened? Was there, like, a collision on the field that everyone got hurt on? What happened? No, nothing happened. Of course Josh Allen's not going to play in the first preseason game against the Detroit Lions. Yeah, I get it. I know Tom Brady's playing. That's what I'm saying. Like, some teams are psychos. Like, some teams are psychos. Like, Tom Brady's going to play, they say. Arian said, no, Tom Brady's going to play. So he's going to play in all four games. Right? Every team is different with this stuff, but I don't know. Somebody prove me wrong. We'll break this game down tomorrow on Game Time Decisions more, but the Detroit Lions are going to be bad, man. They're going to be bad in the regular season. They're going to be bad in the preseason. They're going to be bad in the, afterlife season. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. So Tennessee Titans, Atlanta Falcons on Friday night. Falcons minus one. Whatever. You got a new coach in Atlanta. He's taking on his former team. You know, Julio Jones isn't going to play. So there's not that drama or anything. It's just one of those games. I don't know. You know what I mean? To me, it just doesn't stand out like, yeah, I got to bet this one. Now, the Buffalo Bills, I am a Bills fan, but whatever. It's not just I'm a Bills fan. Listen, the Lions have had a good camp. It's rah-rah. Everyone's buying in. And, hey, the offensive line looks good. And we got a running back. And we got a good tight end. And, there's enthusiasm in the camp. But I get it. And it's basically because Matt Patricia's not there anymore. So, of course, they're happier. So, they've had a good camp. But the thing with the Lions is they're incredibly thin. Right? They've got, like, maybe 5 to 7 good players as it is. And a preseason game is about your depth. And they don't have any depth. They don't have good players. Like, they're in a lot of trouble. I think the Lions are a bad preseason team. I honestly think the Lions are better in the regular season, not the opposite. Like, in the regular season, they'll be getting a boatload of points and stuff, and they'll show up and they'll battle, right? But in the preseason, they're not going to be playing their starters. And then they're going to be in trouble. And the Buffalo Bills coaching staff, like, is hard-ass. They're nut jobs. So, like, they've got, like, the Bills, like, Sean McDermott will bench your ass. He doesn't care who you are, right? So, and he doesn't care, like, basically, like, he's proven. It's like, oh, you think because you're a third-round draft pick that you're just going to, like, I'm going to make you, like, you're going to make it easy on you, right? And he's like, if you don't play well, all right, I don't care. Like, the Bills don't care. Like, the Bills don't care if you come in off the street or your first-round draft pick. Like, if you don't play well, you don't play. If you play well, you play. And, like, the Bills will battle. Mitch Trubisky's having a really good camp. Mitch Trubisky's going to play. Mitch Trubisky's a starting damn quarterback against the Lions' third and fourth stringers. Circle the wagons. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
What is the winning edge? It's sports news you can use.
And you can only get it right here.
We are Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.